Hello and welcome to the Miracle Moon podcast with me, Dr. Frankie Harrison, a clinical psychologist and Georgie Miracle Moon co-founder. As two NICU mums, we want you to know that you are not alone.
We'll be talking to professionals in the field, parents on their journeys after NICU, and exploring and validating common thoughts and feelings that NICU parents so often experience, but no one talks about.
So whether you're listening to this in NICU now, or if NICU has been a part of your past, just know that what you feel is valid, what you experienced is hard, and that there is a whole community of NICU parents here to support you. Come and join us. Hello and welcome to the Miracle Moon podcast. So today we are talking to Katie Sabin. Katie is a PhD student at King's College London. And as part of her PhD, she's running the EXPAND study, which stands for Exploring Parental Emotional Support Needs After NICU Discharge. We've been sharing her research on our page and we've been encouraging people to take part, and we wanted to get Katie in to talk to us all about her findings and where she thinks her research could take the support needed for NICU parents. So thank you very much for being here, Katie.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, well, I'm excited because obviously as a clinical psychologist, research is something that I see the importance of, and I've seen the incredible things that you're doing and just kind of raising awareness of what is needed for NICU parents, but just kind of, you know, just raising awareness in general about this is an area that people need support in. This is an area where people are really struggling. So I just wanted to get you on to just talk you through what it is that you're finding, why the research is there, and what the impact of it could be, I guess.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, maybe I'll start with kind of where the research came from. So
go for it. Yeah, it's lovely.
I suppose more personal side, like experience, I used to work as an assistant psychologist on the NICU at St Thomas's. And there, I think it was just so, so clear. I mean, psychology support is improving on the NICU, but it's definitely not enough, especially because, you know, it can be really inconsistent across different units. But I think it was clear that so many parents needed the psychology support, and lots of them were seeing the psychologist on the NICU there, but a lot of them were maybe seeing the psychologist for one, two, three sessions and then would be transferred to another unit, or they would be discharged home and then that support would end there. And there was kind of no continuity whatsoever. Like when you go home and parents were just sort of left without the support, and, you know, that's just not what it should be. I think there has been lots of research, which is great, and it's obviously really important to research whilst parents are still in hospital. But across the kind of research side of things, it often is sort of portrayed that when a baby goes home, that's the end, and your neonatal journey is over, and, you know, that's the end of the challenges. But actually, that can be the start of just so many new challenges. And so I think it's just really important that parents are supported throughout, and there's kind of not an abrupt end to the support that they receive.
Yeah, so we were at a conference the other day, weren't we? And it was one of the discussions that they were having was talking about how are we supporting people post-discharge. And the majority of units aren't able to kind of support people post-discharge at the moment is what I took from it. But that they want to be able to do that. And it's kind of figuring out how it's best to be able to do that. So I'm guessing the kind of research that you're doing might be helpful in informing that.
Hopefully, yeah. So I think, you know, there have been some studies. A lot of the research is not done in the UK, so we don't really know, particularly in the NHS, you know, we don't know anything really. But we do know that a lot of parents will really struggle. You know, it's obviously a really, really difficult, really overwhelming, scary time. But we don't actually know kind of how they experience it when they're home. So we know that there's really high rates of anxiety and trauma whilst on the unit, but there's not really any research done when parents are home. So that's kind of one of the things that I hope to kind of show from this research, is that actually things don't change that much for parents when they're home. Or, you know, for some parents, and it obviously is dependent on different people, but for some parents, they can really kind of see that emotional impact months down the line. So one of the studies we've done, you know, some parents were saying it was 6 months after discharge or 12 months after discharge where I really realized, oh my goodness, like this has hit me. you know, and that's when they really notice the symptoms of trauma or the anxiety kind of creeping in. So yeah, I just really want to raise that awareness, I guess. One, for parents, I think, you know, it would be great if parents understand more what symptoms to look out for and to be able to kind of have that awareness of how they're feeling. Because a lot of parents might feel really isolated if they're having those symptoms and it's not discussed.
Yeah.
But also for staff, you know, community services just aren't focused on NICU babies or NICU parents. You know, they just don't have that understanding. So yeah, it's just, I suppose, raising awareness generally for both parents and staff that that the journey doesn't end at discharge and that we actually need to really focus on kind of when parents are home as well.
Absolutely. So are you happy to tell us a little bit about the research that you are doing, the kind of questions that you're asking? What is it that you are looking for?
Yeah, of course. So what sort of three different studies going on at the moment? So one we did last year, and that was just an online survey, an anonymous survey, to get a, I suppose, a feel for what we would want to go into researching. And we had just an amazing response. You know, so many parents took part. We had like over 300 parents taking part in just a couple of weeks, which I think just says so much in itself of like how much parents wanted to share their experience and how much they had to say. Because, you know, we'd set this questionnaire up as a kind of multiple choice questionnaire with some comments boxes if parents wanted to say anything else. And so many parents just wrote paragraphs just sharing their experience. It's clearly, you know, still stayed with them. And that is the case for so many. So that questionnaire, I have got all the findings together. I need to absolutely write them up and share them more. But from that, we found that one of the overarching themes was just the emotional support just was not there. So we were asking parents about a few different things. So one was that kind of psychological emotional support. One was about kind of their experience in everyday care for their baby. So, you know, feeding, changing, those kind of things. One section was about specialized sort of medical care. Another was bonding. And then we were also asking about kind of any additional stressors. So, you know, whether that's finances, work, relationships. So we asked about like loads of different things within that one survey. But as I say, kind of one of the overarching themes was that the psychology side of it just wasn't there. So the emotional support was the biggest area that was lacking, I guess. I think it was 2 in 3 parents said that they just did not feel well supported emotionally throughout that neonatal journey. We were asking, so again, to sort of get a feel for how parents are experiencing that time after discharge, we asked them about 33 different symptoms. So they were mainly symptoms of anxiety and low mood.
Okay.
But some symptoms of trauma as well in there, sort of social anxiety. So as I say, loads of different symptoms. We actually found that kind of things didn't really improve much at all within that first 6 months post-discharge. So a lot of parents were feeling sort of the same really at 6 months. And it was only between 6 and 12 months where things started to improve. But obviously that is going to be different for every parent. But yeah, it was just really interesting that actually, you know, perhaps it's when parents get home, there is a huge focus on the baby and kind of getting to grips with that and kind of finding their feet. And a lot of parents don't really notice the kind of emotional impacts or focus on themselves until later on.
Absolutely.
One of the symptoms that we asked about, which was a symptom of low mood, did actually increase from the time that they were discharged to 6 months after discharge. So that was the only one, but that was a feeling of sort of feeling low and hopeless and down and sort of depressed. Okay. So, you know, that's really, really awful to hear that actually parents are feeling worse. And perhaps, you know, that's might be because the changes to their life that have had to happen because of having their NICU baby, or, you know, the realization kind of takes a while to sink in. But so yeah, as I say, the symptoms were still very much there though at 12 months. So I think it was about 1 in 2 parents reported each symptom at discharge, and it only improved to 1 in 3 by 12 months. So that's still way too many.
Yeah.
So yeah, I suppose it's just one of the things from that is just acknowledging that things don't just disappear and that parents do really need that support. And you know, early on, not with these long waiting lists.
I think for a lot of parents that I see kind of in my world is that it is between that kind of like 6 to 12 month mark normally, where people would come to me and then they would kind of go, I'm only just kind of processing what it is that I've been through. Because I think when you're in the NICU, you're just kind of running on adrenaline. You're just doing whatever you need to do to just get through it, you know? And then you get home and you think, oh, I'm done now, you know? And you're getting used to life at home. And then you're still doing a bit of the adrenaline anyway, because you've still got a very small baby. And it isn't until that kind of like 6 to 12 month bit where you're like, wait a second, like, what have I just been through? Or even the bit around like birthdays and trauma anniversaries, returning to work, starting childcare, all of that can bring up a whole load of emotions. So yeah, that's definitely what I'm seeing as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, as I say, it's not for every parent, but it was something that came up quite a lot, you know, and some parents were commenting saying, my child is now 9. You know, and yes. I still feel like this. So it's like, you know, we need to get that support in place early so that they don't just persist for years and years, because it can absolutely affect parents for many years.
And my, you know, from what we know, that it can impact the parents, but then it can also then impact children, right? In terms of your parent is struggling with their mental health and it not being addressed, not being picked up, or if you're living with a traumatized parent, that's, you know, that parent needs support for them and for their child as well.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. And I think research is really improving in that side of things. Our understanding of kind of those early interactions is really improving. But again, that is just the importance of doing it, isn't it? And putting that support in place. It's not just for parents, you know, it affects the entire family and the relationship, you know, partner relationships as well. Yeah. It is just so important for everyone, and the kind of benefit of having that treatment early on would be huge.
So we're really in early days of research when it comes to looking at NICU parents post-discharge, really.
I think so, yeah. And I think in other countries it is better. Okay. There really is nothing here, and I mean, I'm only looking sort of within that first year post-discharge, because you know, I love the time frame that I'm doing my research. But I really hope that from this study research continues much later into childhood, you know, into the teenage years, because there are kind of so many ongoing effects for some families, you know, and looking at the kind of transition to school, as you say, you know, for a lot of non-NICU families, there might be that expectation that that's going to be a really, you know, a fun and exciting time, but actually it can be really, really triggering for NICU families. So, you know, as much as I'd love to focus on more, it's kind of not within the time frame that I have, but I really hope that future research looks much further into years to come.
Yeah. So that was the first part, and you said that it was kind of split into three. Can you talk us through what the two bits that you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the studies that I'm doing at the moment is very similar in terms of what we're asking about, but rather than it just being an anonymous online questionnaire, we are asking parents to join the research early on, sort of post-discharge, so within the first 6 months. And then I will be sending them some questionnaires, three different time points. So rather than sort of the first questionnaire was saying, how did you feel at this time? How did you feel at that time? But with this research, we're going to follow it a bit more closely. So we will be asking, how do you feel now? Around sort of early discharge, 6 months and 12 months. And so within those questionnaires, we will be including a measure of anxiety, low mood and trauma. So we're asking about loads of different symptoms, and then we'll be able to sort of see if there's change over time. And again, just sort of track it a bit better than asking sort of retrospectively. And then we'll also be looking at various other things. So bonding, social support, or perceived social support, experiences on the unit. So it's a questionnaire that's based on family integrated care, but what that is essentially asking, you know, were you supported to learn to feed your baby, you know, were you supported emotionally whilst on the NICU? So loads of different experiences whilst in neonatal care. And then at the very end, so 12 months after discharge, then I'll be inviting parents to chat with me, and we'll just go into a bit more detail of kind of, did they access support? You know, what were those experiences like? Was it helpful? Was it not helpful? Were there certain things that, you know, maybe the support was available, but you didn't feel that you could access it for whatever reason that may be? You know, maybe it didn't feel like it was specialized enough. Were there things that you would have liked support in, or that you didn't actually need the support in, and kind of when as well? Because, you know, it's, we can have that understanding that parents need support, but actually we really need to know what support and when to be able to kind of make those changes. Improve the support that is there.
What are you seeing already with that? Because I know you're not finished, but what is it that you're already seeing, or what is it that you are imagining that you will see?
I think I'm from the first study, as I say, we did really notice that things didn't improve much in those first 6 months. So I imagine it will be very similar, as I say, the emotional impact. And, you know, parents don't really think about themselves when they first get home. Mm-hmm. So I imagine that will definitely come up. But I think a lot of the support that NICU parents do receive post-discharge is quite generic. Yes. So a lot of the comments that I was seeing in the first survey was, you know, I saw my health visitor, but actually it was really, really unhelpful because they just didn't understand. And, you know, I hope that the research will kind of make sure that all services are equipped with how to, you know, have conversations with NICU families. They need to be trauma informed. Actually, a lot of services can have a really damaging effect if they make certain comments, or this isn't even just services, you know, this could be baby groups, or, you know, those kind of things as well. It's just all those experience post-discharge need to be equipped in kind of understanding NICU parents' needs and NICU babies' needs. So, I imagine that will come up a lot, that just the services just aren't there, and that we need to make them more specialised. They need to be trauma-informed, and, they need to be there for NICU parents, not just parents that haven't been to the NICU.
Yeah, it's just such a bubble, the NICU. And I was talking to a midwife about it the other day, and she was like, that's because it's not really seen as part of like the maternity care, like it's its own little place, but it is part of maternity care. It's just not kind of integrated in that kind of way. So it's like a baby goes to the NICU, the parent kind of goes, there's not really the continuity of care there with that. And then the parents are kind of forgotten, they're discharged, they're under the consultant, but then it's just like this little bubble, and then it's just very separate and it's very isolated, and then it's like you're supposed to be over it. So it's, I agree, it's like that post-discharge, more people need to be informed to know what it is that parents are going through, that they are still needing that support. But it's across everything, isn't it? It's antenatal, it's while they're on the unit, it's maternity, it's everywhere. It's almost like we just need to be more like NICU informed in that kind of way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's just no kind of connection. I remember when working on the neonatal unit, and there was just no link whatsoever between maternity and neonatal. And that's, you know, on the kind of medical notes side of things, it was just, they are so interlinked, and it's so important that the NICU staff understand what has gone on, you know, pregnancy and birth, and there's just no link. And so, you know, there's just no understanding of what parents have been through, and you need to understand those things to understand, you know, why they might be responding in the way that they are, or why they're experiencing the symptoms that they are.
Yeah.
So absolutely, there needs to be just kind of a better link, I suppose, between services, and again, post-discharge as well, you know. It shouldn't be that, because I think a lot came up, as I said, that parents would see this NICU psychologist and then they just would go home and they couldn't access a NICU psychologist anymore. But they're not going to go to perinatal mental health services because, you know, they're not kind of referred there. That's, they haven't got the understanding there of how to kind of treat mm-hmm. NICU trauma. Mm-hmm. So there just isn't that link whatsoever. And so I think that's, again, can really contribute to parents feeling like really isolated, because it's like, I'm just being passed from service to service.
Yeah.
And there's nowhere that's for me.
Yeah. And that was my personal experience as well, because I reached out for support when I got home, and I was told I could go to IAPT, which is like the CBT service, but they were like, but it's not quite right, doesn't quite fit for you. And then I got referred to perinatal, and I didn't kind of get accepted there because I didn't quite fit there. And it was like, well, where are you supposed to go? Where are you supposed to fit? It isn't there. And it's a huge reason why I kind of started it up, because it's just not there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It fully relies on like the amazing support that you're giving. And, you know, there's neonatal charities that are giving amazing support, but one shouldn't, I don't think, rely on parents having to reach out and be put on these really long waiting lists and be passed from service to service. It needs to be that parents are kind of proactively offered that support so that they feel supported. Absolutely, because exactly as you say, you know, there just isn't the services there. And also the waiting lists just aren't suitable. You know, we know that those early interactions between parent and baby really are important. You know, they can have long lasting impact. So it's really important that you have early treatment, not 18 months down the line. Because that was, again, one of the things we asked in our survey. And it was like, I think 1 in 10 parents that went through the referral process didn't get any support because they're kind of just dropped off the list and forgotten, you know, and it's because there isn't that specific service.
And I think what you get then as well, a lot of what I see, is that then there is a huge amount of grief of like, I feel like I've missed like the first year, the first 18 months of my child's life, because I was, you know, feeling traumatized or low or anxious or whatever. I wasn't present like I wanted to be. And then I tend to work with people around that like year onwards mark. Generally, that's when people find me. And then people are like, I wish I had this sooner, because now I'm able to be present and I'm able to manage this anxiety, and I miss so much, and there's so much grief attached to the NICU anyway. It's just it's just another thing that they've lost.
Absolutely. There's grief from the very start in so many cases, aren't there? You know, grief from birth or you know, pregnancy. So grief was absolutely something that we've seen so much of, and I think that's another reason for raising the awareness, not just with staff, but actually with parents as well. You know, there needs to be more discussions of how you're feeling and kind of symptoms to look out for, because as we say, a lot of parents don't kind of realize the impact till a lot later on. But if there was more discussions and more awareness early on, they might be more likely to access the support and reach out, because there are services at the moment, but as I say, it's just, there's not enough, and they shouldn't rely on parents having to do the referrals themselves and get all of the kind of waiting lists. It needs to be more proactive, definitely, I think, and just an absolute standard that NICU parents are offered support and they know exactly where to access support and when.
Yeah, very much so.
We are so thankful to Emma at Cover My Bubble for sponsoring our podcast. She asked us not to do an advert, but we so believe in what her company is doing that we really wanted to shout about it. Cover My Bubble is a family-run insurance company. Emma started the company after her daughter Lily spent time in NICU but sadly didn't make it home. Emma was impacted financially by the situation and wanted to support other people so that they don't have to go through the same thing.
Having both been through NICU and not having insurance, we saw the impact the NICU and illness can have on your family emotionally and financially. You can hear more all about the different types of insurance that Cover My Bubble offer on our episode with Emma, but also on their website, covermybubble.co.uk. We believe strongly in this company. They come from the heart and they're working to support families like ours. We know that so many of you will have been impacted emotionally by these issues, but by thinking about insurance, maybe some of the financial pressure could also be alleviated. So this is the second study, and are you still recruiting to it now?
Yeah. So the second study should be ending recruitment. It's been difficult to recruit parents for this study, which we totally anticipated, but I think it's really important to build those relationships with parents to kind of get them on board with the research, because actually it's, you know, it's a scary thing to talk about your experience. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to go onto the unit and speak to parents because of ethics and things. So our recruitment has been relying on posters on social media, and the neonatal charities that have shared it have been absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
So our current study is for parents to 6 months post-discharge, so that have been home with their baby for 6 months. And we are still recruiting for that.
Okay.
And then the next study that we hope to do, just in the sort of process of getting all the approvals, is a similar study in terms of what we're asking about, but this will just be not lots of questionnaires over different time points, but we'll be asking parents to, again, come and have a chat with me. This is for parents that have been home with their baby between 10 and 18 months, so a little bit further down the line. So it'll be interesting to see whether more parents get involved, because it's a little bit later. And as I say, it's just a study to come and have a chat with me, and we'll be asking about their experiences of support, their experiences, you know, taking their baby home, whether there were things that they really needed support with, whether there were things that they found really, really challenging, the, you know, what wasn't so challenging or what was really helpful. So it will be a really kind of formal conversation just to understand those experiences since taking your baby home. And we hope to be able to kind of put together some guidance. That is my kind of overall plan for the PhD, to put together some guidance of what post-discharge support should really look like.
So, and you're kind of, do you have an idea of what that could be looking like at the moment?
I think it's really hard to kind of know exactly. We know that, as I said, every type of support, whether that be parent groups, you know, baby groups, checks on mum and how she's doing physically, it all just needs to be more specialised. It needs to have the understanding there of the NICU, so that parents aren't having to kind of re-explain their whole story every single person they meet. So yeah, I imagine there will be absolutely that the various different services need training in NICU. Just have a bit more of an understanding, because I think it's, you know, one in seven babies, is that correct? I think the different stats change, but one in seven babies go to neonatal care. So, you know, that's a lot. Services should absolutely have more of an awareness, but they just don't. So, and I think potentially, but as I say, we haven't got the data there yet, that, you know, services should focus on maybe that 6 to 12 months post-discharge and ongoing, just from the research that we've done. You know, parents are, it seems maybe less likely to reach out for support early on, because they're just finding their feet. But as I say, that's what we're going to kind of explore in the interviews. Is that the case? Because, yeah, we don't want to make kind of any assumptions, I guess, on what support parents and families need.
It was really interesting, because I was talking to someone who worked in the perinatal psychology team as well the other month, and she said, you know what, like, NICU just doesn't really come onto my radar. And I was like, what? Like, there's so many people who need support, and she was just like, I'm just not aware of it. And I just think that either parents aren't referring themselves, or they're not suitable, or it's just not right, whatever it is. So having that research, having that information that is there for, like, staff working in perinatal support, for example, or like a specialist service or whatever it is, it just, yeah, it needs to happen, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, because it can be really hard for parents to reach out. And especially, I think, you know, a lot of the symptoms of trauma can be really distressing, you know, from intrusive thoughts, for example. Parents often, it's unsurprising that some parents don't want to reach out, because they don't want to kind of admit to having these symptoms. But actually, if there was that awareness, they'd understand that it's, you know, really quite common following these really ongoing traumas to have these really distressing symptoms. So I think, yeah, it's, again, just really important that there is such an awareness and kind of a real unjudgmental conversation around it, particularly post-discharge, when, you know, parents may be more likely to think about themselves and accessing support.
Yeah. So tell me what kind of symptoms you kind of mentioned at the beginning that parents should maybe be aware of, that they should be kind of looking out for in terms of struggling with their mental health.
Mm-hmm. So, maybe if I go back to some of the survey stuff that we found, so some of the really difficult ones, like I said before, intrusive thoughts.
Yeah.
So I remember a really powerful quote of one mum saying, you know, I couldn't get this image of throwing my baby down the stairs out of my head. You know, that is a really awful thing to have to imagine. So intrusive thoughts are definitely one. I think checking and kind of that health anxiety as well. Health anxiety, I think, is huge, and that can really contribute to kind of feelings of isolation and loneliness, because, you know, there's that fear of not wanting to mix with, you know, other babies, baby groups, or, you know, go to really busy places. So then that can kind of manifest as social anxiety, wanting to stay at home or avoid busy places. So, gosh, there's just so many, isn't there? But feeling low, you know, feeling kind of real lack of energy. Obviously, it's hard when you've just taken your newborn baby home.
Yeah.
That will be quite natural as well, the lack of sleep. But it's, you know, important to notice when actually it's kind of a daily thing, that you're just not feeling like you want to go out, or, you know, you just want to stay at home. And so there's just so many symptoms, that you could experience, and it could be completely different for different people. So I think it's important to notice that just because one parent is feeling one way, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be feeling the way that you're feeling. You know, all emotions, I think, in that context are totally valid. And it's just, I suppose, being kind to yourself and saying, you know, I have been through so much. And yeah, absolutely. Just reaching out and getting support if you feel that you do notice that kind of change in those symptoms.
I think it's really hard when you're in it to know that what you are feeling either isn't permanent or isn't kind of supposed to be there. So what I mean by that is, like, for example, the health anxiety, because you are kind of programmed to be particularly vigilant around your child's health, and because there is often a real risk there from when they're younger, or, for example, with breathing and, you know, hospital readmissions and colds and all of that kind of thing having an impact, it's then kind of going, well, wait a second, is this normal? And kind of parenting from a perspective of trauma, and like that, for a lot of people, that being your introduction into becoming a parent, it's like they don't know any different. So it's really hard to kind of tease apart, like, is this normal? Is this something that can change? Is this just how it is? So it's really hard.
It's so difficult. Yeah, it's absolutely so difficult. And I think that is just one of the things, one of the questions that, you know, it's just kind of impossible when you're a new parent. It's like, I just don't know what is too much and what's, you know, is just a natural response, because my baby is, you know, maybe more vulnerable to picking up something. So, and I think that was, again, one of the huge, huge concerns with COVID and kind of people developing health anxiety because of COVID, and then the kind of more natural health anxiety as a NICU parent, because you're taking your baby home and you've, exactly as you say, been told, you know, don't let loads of people hold your baby, and, you know, be really cautious in terms of germs. So it's just one of those things that I think as a parent, it's so important to discuss, because actually it's just really hard to know what the answer is, and it's normal to not know the answer, I think.
So we need to be kind of talking about it, we need to be raising awareness both for the parents but also for anyone really who kind of comes into contact with parents who have been through neonatal care. So if people want to be involved and they want to kind of, you know, maybe in the one that you're doing at the moment with the kind of under 6 months, or the one that you're doing later with kind of older babies, how can they get in contact with you?
So most of the kind of advertising we're doing and the information about the research is shared across social media. So we've got an Instagram, Facebook and Twitter page set up, and it's just called Expand Study. And on all of those pages, there'll be clear links of how to access the questionnaires or how to find out more information. If you just want to have a little look what is involved in the research, there's a lot more detail than kind of I've gone into today. So you could just have a read, see if it's something that you would like to take part in. And all my contact details are on those pages as well. So if you want to kind of ask some questions first before deciding, I think it's important to say that if you want to take part and you decide actually halfway through the questionnaire, you know, maybe I don't want to think about these things at the moment, or I don't want to reflect on my time in NICU yet, then you absolutely don't have to carry on. We really appreciate how difficult it is for parents to think about those experiences. So that is absolutely fine if you want to take part and see what it's like, and then actually you decide later on you don't want to. But yeah, as I say, social media, the EXPAND study, and you'll find all the information there.
Brilliant. Lovely. Is there anything that I haven't asked you or that you haven't told us that you think is important for parents to know, or anything that you'd like to kind of leave with people as we wrap up?
Oh gosh, so many things. I think just the importance of, you know, although this is research, I think it's quite difficult when it's such a sensitive topic for it to not come across as research, and I really don't want that. And for parents to kind of understand that our goal is to make parents feel more supported, because as I say, you know, asking parents to fill in a questionnaire when they've been through really difficult experiences can feel quite difficult. So just to understand that, you know, we want to improve support, and we want to make sure that every parent at every stage when they need it can access support. I think that's the main thing, really. It's just we understand that there isn't enough care for parents, and that is why we're doing the research.
Yeah, and so needed, and a thank you for doing it and spending your time doing it. I know what a slog it is doing all of the research, but it is so very, very needed. And I hope that from this we can kind of say there is much more support that is needed. This is what it could look like, and then implementing it so that real changes are made and more research can happen and more support can happen. So
absolutely. I think that's the challenge, isn't it? You know, we need the data to be able to make the changes. Sadly, that's just how things work, particularly in the NHS. So hopefully with kind of all of the amazing parents that are taking part, we will be able to really get that data to say, this is what we need support wise, and this is when we need it.
Okay, lovely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We'll put all of your information in the show notes so that if people want to be involved, or if they just want to keep tracks on what you're doing with a study, share information, help you out in that kind of way, that they can do. So thank you. And I will be sharing kind of information as and when you go on with it as well, so people can keep up that way too.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much for having me.
No worries. All right. Well, take care. See you later.
Thank you. Bye.
We really hope you enjoyed this episode. We'd be so grateful if you could rate, comment, or subscribe if you found it helpful. We'd love to see you again. So come and join our community on Instagram at MiracleMoonUK.
You can check out our other resources and services on our website, www.miraclemoon.co.uk. We can't wait to see you there.